Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ireland fully aligns with the statement made by the European Union, and I make the following remarks in a national capacity. And at the outset, let me congratulate you, Ambassador D'Amico, for the tremendous amount of work that you've conducted again this year as chair of the group. I know it's with the support of your team and with the support of the ISU, who tirelessly work in the background on all of these things, and I'd like to express my delegation's sincere appreciation and assure you of our continued support and cooperation. Mr. Chair, the last meeting of the GGE demonstrated that a positive and constructive spirit is possible, and that a meaningful discussion centred on concrete proposals can bear fruit. We were collectively able to reflect on the challenges posed by autonomous weapon systems and help fix the contours of common understandings on very critical issues. My delegation also wishes to acknowledge the important complementary work on autonomous weapons that has taken place outside of the GGE. Ireland is pleased to participate in the REAIM conference in The Hague, the regional conference on autonomous weapons in Costa Rica, and the meeting quite recently in Luxembourg. It's important to build on this momentum to develop targeted multilateral solutions to the legal, technical, and humanitarian problems posed by autonomous weapons. At the UN General Assembly last year, we also witnessed for the first time a joint statement led by Austria from 70 states recognizing the urgent need for the international community to adopt appropriate rules and measures for autonomous weapons. This stems from a recognition that the unconstrained use of such weapons and the consequent loss of human control over the use of force would create unacceptable risks to civilians. We have the opportunity now to demonstrate that the GGE can respond effectively. Mr. Chair, my delegation welcomes your draft report as a very solid basis for agreement this year. It draws on years of constructive engagement across cross-regional cooperation and the presentation of numerous forward-looking and practical proposals, including those proposed by my delegation as part of a group of states. In short, it is encouraging that your report captures the great degree of convergence that exists among delegations. For instance, there is a clear consensus that international law, in particular the UN Charter and international humanitarian law, as well as ethical perspectives, should continue to be the guiding considerations in the work of the group. Indeed, for my delegation, the application of and respect for IHL is paramount and must be placed at the centre of our work. Given the centrality of IHL, we should be able to collectively acknowledge that autonomous weapon systems that cannot be used in accordance with IHL must not be developed, deployed, or used, that they are, as others have already said, already prohibited. While that wouldn't be a revolutionary step forward, it would at least act as a constructive starting point. My delegation is also encouraged by the growing consensus with regard to the so-called two-tier or dual-track approach. While delegations continue to have some degree of divergence on the fine detail and terminology, there is clearly a desire to recognise that certain systems are unacceptable and must be prohibited, while other systems require regulation through the adoption of concrete, multilaterally agreed measures setting out clear rules and limitations. Your report also rightly concentrates on the human element in the use of force. This issue is, after all, related to life or death decisions, with stakes this high, ceding human control, agency or responsibility to algorithms is not an option. It is essential for my delegation that we recognise in any outcome that human beings retain control over decisions with regard to the use of force, that human beings must exert control over the application of force, and that there is clear accountability and responsibility for the decision to use force. Mr. Chair, with regard to the use of caveated language in the report, my delegation recognises the concerns expressed in the room this morning and during the informal discussions by some delegations. However, the idea that the report might imply that there are no existing legally binding obligations with respect to laws would be factually incorrect. In drafting this report, we must be careful that we do not, under any circumstances, undermine the legal obligations that already apply to autonomous weapons. The implementation of IHL, in particular, is not optional. It is a central pillar of international law and applies regardless of whether or not this GGE achieves an outcome. Our job here is the progressive development of that law. Chair, we have heard a wide variety of views on the nature of a future framework on laws. Many delegations are calling for a legally binding instrument, while others emphasise the role that can be played by voluntary guidelines or national standards. In the view of my delegation, at this stage, the precise nature of the instrument is less important than the need to build common understandings on the most critical issues. It is also important that the two are not mutually exclusive. Voluntary measures, including the sharing of national policy standards and good practices, are useful and can act as complementary confidence-building measures, but they are not a replacement for the codification of internationally negotiated rules, limits and regulations. Chair, in closing, for this GGE session, our task is clear. We must translate our substantive work and momentum into a concrete outcome. That is where we have fallen short in the past. We cannot afford to do so at this GGE. With the rapid pace of technological development, there's little time to waste. Autonomous weapons are not a hypothetical issue. The capacity and potential exists now, and now is the time to act urgently through decisive and effective multilateralism that results in robust rules and limits. My delegation will support you in that effort, and in particular will make concrete proposals in relation to the human element in the use of force, ethical considerations, as well as biases and gender considerations. We will also address the issue of the mandate for the group separately and agree with those that have already spoken that suggested that the mandate for next year, if any, should stem from the results of the group this year. Thank you, Mr. Chair.